Good morning.
Good morning, Nathaniel.
So, Stuart, what exactly is diabetes?
Oh, big question, Nathaniel. It's a complex sort of topic, and there's lots of, you know, very smart people spend their entire lives trying to understand it in a research sense. Is it worthwhile just trying to break it down to real simple terms for your listeners?
Break it down to me. Keep it simple for
okay.
us.
Okay. So let's assume everything's normal. Your digestion system really takes what you eat and drink, converts it into glucose, puts it into your bloodstream, and that's distributed around your body. And that's actually the energy source for you and for all the cells in your body. A little organ called the pancreas sees that glucose, this energy, and it releases a hormone called insulin. And that tells all of our cells that, if you like, it's dinner time, that there's fuel available, and allows our cells to absorb that energy, that glucose. Right, the glucose levels in the blood drop back down. We stop the insulin production, and everything goes back to normal until you sort of eat or drink again. So that's in a normal situation. Diabetes refers to a couple of situations, and there's a couple of different types, that interrupts that sequence. And the end result is that the glucose levels in the bloodstream stay high. And the problem with that is, while we need that glucose or that energy to live, elevated or high glucose levels over time attack our cardiovascular and our nervous systems. So that's what causes all the complications of diabetes, like stroke and blindness, heart disease, kidney failure, amputations, and so on. And often it's quite invisible, which is a real concern, particularly in the type 2 and sometimes even in gestational diabetes. Is it worthwhile talking about the different types?
Well, could you just explain for us why exactly it's a thing? Like, what's going wrong with the body to make diabetes a problem?
Exactly. And you didn't hear a lot about it, really, certainly not type 2 or gestational, you know, 20 or 30 years ago. So, you know, type 1 diabetes is an autoimmune disease, so it often happens with children, and that's where the autoimmune system goes crazy for some reason and attacks the specific cells that produce that insulin. So the body can't produce insulin anymore. And unless you inject insulin, basically, you know, in the old days, the reality is you would die. So it's a quite acute condition. There's no prevention, no cure, and requires immediate medical attention. Type 2 diabetes is driven by age, so that's a big one. It's also driven by lifestyle, so being overweight or inactive. And then there's some family history and multicultural ethnic background sort of pieces associated as well. And what it is your body can't quite produce enough insulin to get the glucose levels down, or the cells in your body are not receptive to that insulin. And it generally creeps up over time, often no symptoms. It's a really quickly growing issue, and as the Australian population becomes larger, that's where we're seeing all of these type 2 diagnoses down into the teen years, things that we just never saw, you know, 10 years ago.
Well, how does a diabetes diagnosis affect a person's life?
It depends. So certainly with type 1 diabetes, you would need, or gestational diabetes, you need to really go into quite intense management of that with your health professional team. And, you know, for instance, I have type 1 diabetes, so I have to be quite strict about how much I eat, how much I move, making sure I take my medication on time, et cetera, and injections and so forth. A lot of people with type 2 diabetes, you know, and certainly they may not even feel ill, so they may just be given lifestyle, so please lose some weight, and even 5% weight drop makes an enormous difference in type 2 diabetes. They may be given tablets, and as the condition progresses, you may end up with injections. What I will say, though, is there are lots of good medical interventions and even lifestyle interventions now that, even with a diagnosis of type 2 diabetes, if you look after yourself and manage it well and take your medication, long, happy, productive life. And one of our biggest problems is that, one, people are not being diagnosed, so they're not asking the question, and this can go on for, up to 7 years, some of the research says, at which time all of the complications that we talked about earlier are happening. So it can be very dangerous if left undiagnosed and unmanaged, but if you look after yourself and do what your medical team and care team ask, then, you know, you can have a relatively trouble-free life.
From what I know with type 2 diabetes, if you start treating it before, like losing weight, looking after your lifestyle, if you start treating it in the first year or two, you can counteract it, you can cure it in some regard. Is that correct?
We wouldn't use the term cure. So if you can remember my earlier description, so type 2 is a progressive condition. And so as, let's say, we get older, our ability, our pancreas, everything gets older. Our ability to produce insulin mightn't be quite as good. If we're overweight, we need more insulin than we would if we were, a healthy weight. So if we were to lose some weight, in effect, our ability to produce insulin may then be enough to make it seem as if we no longer have type 2 diabetes. And in fact, there are many people that actually, when they lose weight and get healthy, can take themselves off all medication for quite a while. So it seems like they're cured, but the reality is once type 2 diabetes starts, it is a progressive condition. Who knows? There's an interesting study out of the UK at the moment called the DIRECT study, quite a large one, and they did some very intensive weight loss early on, and they have what they're terming remission, which is a controversial word in diabetes, but remission for, up to several years later.
Right. That's quite interesting, actually.
Hmm.
If you're just joining us here on The Daily this morning, we're chatting to Sturt Eastwood, CEO of Diabetes New South Wales, to mark World Diabetes Day today. So Sturt, children and adolescents are being diagnosed with diabetes at a pretty increasing rate. What signs and symptoms could indicate that diabetes is a possibility in a young person?
Okay, so we'll talk about both. I would like to talk about type 1 and type 2, particularly with children and teens. So type 1 is quite an acute condition. So we generally talk in terms of the four T's. So tired, thirsty, toilet, and thin. And with type 1, your body cannot really process the energy or the glucose in the bloodstream at all. And so what happens there is your cells actually almost start to eat themselves to try and keep going, which is what causes the massive weight loss. In type 2... you're still not processing glucose properly, but it's a lot sort of, it's a lot slower in the effect. And generally speaking, you will be tired, you may be thirsty, you may be going to the toilet a bit, but you will be tired, and to counteract that, you will actually eat more. But because your system is still sort of processing the glucose and the energy, you tend to become much more overweight. So it's a bit of a catch-22. You also often see a bit of blurred vision in both, but one of the problems with type 2 is there's often no symptoms at all, and that's part of the issue. So we would estimate, not just in sort of children and teens, but across the entire type 2 sort of population, if you like, there's probably at least 500,000 Australians currently walking around undiagnosed.
My God, 500,000, my goodness. Now, have you seen a shift in understanding and awareness of diabetes over the last couple of years?
I think the answer is yes. People understand the term diabetes. I'm not sure there's a great understanding of what diabetes actually is, nor indeed the seriousness of diabetes. There's also a bit of a sense in the Australian population that, look, it's a disease of choice and it's not going to happen to me. And that's just so untrue. So the reality is today, Nathaniel, if you're alive today and listening to this radio station, you have a 1 in 3 lifetime chance of developing diabetes.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. That's a massive statistic. Oh, my gosh. You got me quite worried here.
Well, not at all. What I'm trying to do is motivate you to take it seriously, because there's no... In the old days, we used to talk about a touch of sugar and, it's only just this, so don't worry about it. There's no unserious type of diabetes. And really, the things that you would do in a preventative sense, and we can prevent about 60% of all diabetes if you look after yourself from a health point of view, but the things that you would do are good for you anyway. Good for heart disease, good for long life, good for fitness and health, you know. And so it's all about putting those pieces back into our life wherever we can, and realizing that, you know, our body is effectively a machine, and if we treat it well, it will perform well.
Well, what exactly is Diabetes New South Wales doing today to mark World Diabetes Day?
Well, interesting you ask, because we hadn't touched on gestational. So we have, you know, there's quite a bit of media activity, and we have some other events, etc., going on. We have a health professional update piece on the weekend as well. So there's quite a number of functions across the state, generally delivering education, etc., to people with diabetes. I did want to just mention gestational diabetes quickly, if I may, though. It's the fastest growing type of diabetes we have. We now have one in six pregnancies affected by diabetes. And while it's an issue both for the mother and the child during pregnancy, it also flows past that, in that the mother will likely develop type 2 diabetes, you know, within about 5 to 10 years following, and the child is 6 times more likely in their lifetime to develop type 2 diabetes. So just wanted to get the message out there to any potential mums that please get yourself in shape before the pregnancy starts. Or anyone that is pregnant and you haven't been tested, make sure that you talk to your healthcare professional to get tested, because it does have complications for both mum and bub.
Right. Well, I'm not pregnant, but you've definitely inspired me to get a bit more healthy. Sturt, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Nathaniel. I really appreciate the time.
Thank you.